Welcome to another episode of the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Britt. A fresh take on sports by two guys who think they're right even when they're wrong, which is a lot. Sports, movies, music, and, well, other stuff. So sit back, relax, turn it up, and join the journey into the unknown and maybe have a laugh or two. Here's your host, Brandon Lowe and Ryan Britt.
With that crowd there.
I just want to thank Flea for guest starring on our intro too. That bass line is
funky.
Just nasty.
It's funky. I thought Jack did it.
Yeah, did you play that?
Yeah, I played that.
Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding.
He's just composing stuff over here now.
Yeah, he said he's got a bass guitar. Did you hang it up?
I do.
Yeah. That needs to be hanging in here.
You said you were hanging up.
It's in a case right outside the door. I do have my amp up here now.
So I keep meaning to bring the Wolf of Wall trophy over. It needs to be set up somewhere in here.
Do I have enough room? Is there enough clearance?
Well, I'm not sure the ceiling's high enough. It's really not big. It's tall.
It's tall.
Yeah. So we'll see.
You could put it like...
I can lean it in a corner probably.
On the corner there. No, that'd probably block your face actually. No,
camera shot. That doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. It could be a good thing.
I'm Brandon Lowe. Next to me, Ryan Pritt, the beautiful Jack Withrow across from us. And you brought the picture back. I like that.
Where you built, you've been complaining. That it wasn't around, so I had to bring it back.
The famous sledgehammer.
John Henry's actual sledgehammer.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. J-Ham. That's who you are. J-Ham. We established that as
J-Ham.
Josiah Jack Hammer. Called you that.
Yeah.
Did that get established Sunday?
He told me Josiah saw that picture too and was very okay. Loved it and called him J-Ham. That's Josiah's nickname.
That's funny.
Jack. Everything's J-Ham now.
That's cool, man. Yep. I love it.
Yep.
Had a great July 4th weekend. That's why we didn't have a show yesterday, obviously.
Everybody got their fingers.
Yeah, everybody's. I mean, I almost blew my face off yesterday. I'm not kidding. The neighbor that lets off fireworks and stuff, and he came down. He had those mortars.
Yeah.
Those things are no joke.
Oh, they're fun, though.
But what we would do, you put the mortars on each side, and then you put a box one, so you're just firing them all off at the same time.
Yeah.
And mine wouldn't light. And my face is like right next to this mortar. And I'm in it. I'm like, I'm going to get this lit. I'm dedicated. And right before it just shot off, it just lit. I'd move my face. My ear, I couldn't hear anything out of my right ear for like the rest of the night.
Well, yeah. That's a successful July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
And
if
you come to work and you can't hear out of your right ear, that's good weekend.
Yeah.
We know people, you know, you always see in beer commercials, drink responsibly.
Right.
And, you know,
weren't you the guy who let off the fireworks Sunday?
What?
Did you let the fireworks off?
I was getting to that. No. I passed it to Kelsey. I said,
good.
I'm out. There's no way I should be around explosives right now.
The whole time I would tell Jack, I'm like, he's the guy that's going to light off the fireworks.
And as Brandon and Jack could tell you, there's good reason I was not allowed to let off fireworks on Sunday. So I passed the responsibility instead of doing the dude thing, you know.
Oh, I can do it. Get out the way.
Get out of the way. Get out of the way, man.
So our friend.
Watch this.
our good friend Frankie, who does not drink.
Oh, perfect.
And he usually brings some fireworks. He spearheaded the firework. And
that's the guy that should be ahead of the fireworks.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he is. Absolutely. Yeah, and I was like, Frankie, help me out. And to be honest, I don't think I saw any of them. There was like 100. I don't remember seeing any. I think I did more steps grilling and just making rounds and socializing than I did on the walk that morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we had fireworks. I don't know if you guys, were you guys there for that or not?
No, we left right around the same time. Right when the dark hit, because we had to get a little girl home and sleep.
I had to get myself home in bed.
Yeah.
It's past his bedtime.
Jack, what happened was Jack saw the window of opportunity just burst open. He knew that I wasn't doing anything yesterday. What did we do on the walking plan yesterday, Jack?
He did 6 miles yesterday, didn't you?
No, that was Sunday before the
cookout. You did four yesterday.
Yeah, I had prepped.
Yeah.
Just in case I fell off a wagon and dove into some
Jack knew. I mean, there was no doubt I wasn't going to be worth a damn yesterday, and I wasn't.
I had to seize the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it.
I like how you guys act like this is a two-man race at this point.
I don't know, but if yesterday...
You guys are like, hey, you got a lead on me, man.
If the last 48 hours are any indication, it might be, and I'm the one out. Let me tell you.
I didn't do any cardio, so I'm just kidding. I didn't do any. No. If you count me going to the grocery store... Getting stuff for cooking food out, then yeah.
I got to do that today.
I told you how many steps I had in the last 4 days.
Yeah, you got a ton. Jack's still in the marathon.
You say it was 60,000?
60,500.
That's good. I had 18, I think, Sunday. I ate like crap, but that probably canceled out pretty good. Yesterday, there was no canceling out.
Yeah. But, I didn't eat any of the food on Sunday at all. Actually, I did. I ate a burger without a bun and a hot dog.
Yeah, you all did better than me. I was in such a hurry. Somebody just walked past me with a burger. And like, you want this? I'm like, yeah, that's what I ate.
you kept telling me to eat the, you're like, go for it. It was the, some chocolate thing or something.
Oh, the brownie bites. Yeah, yeah. I had a bunch of those too.
Yeah.
Because I would just walk past and I was doing stuff and I was like, oh.
You just keep eating. Yeah. You're like, seriously, get you some.
I'm
like,
I don't know. Dude, they were so good. So.
No, it was fun.
It's your damn fault if you missed out on those things. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, Mom made those.
Oh. Yeah.
Can we do that after you get back from vacation?
What's that?
Have another cookout.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
If you noticed, I got a pretty good little piece of land for cookouts, man. That's I love
it. Hey, I'm waiting for the corn and the tomatoes to come in.
That's what I'm talking August. About.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll bring some into the show one day.
Yeah, that's what I'll
just distribute.
Here. I told your dad.
Maybe a little harvest. One. Harvest
that's cookout. That's my dad's pride and joy. I don't know how much you guys got to talk to my dad, but
I did
quite a bit.
It looks pretty awe. I mean, he's over there every morning. It could be 100 degrees, and I'm hearing like the tractor fire up at 8 o'clock, and I'm like, oh my
God. I walked back there and checked it out. There wasn't any weeds around the plants.
No. He takes care of them. So
yeah, that's his baby.
It's pretty awesome because I mean, you know, I probably couldn't make a flower grow if I put it in a pot, you know, and he's out here, you know, just basically feeding half the family out of the garden. So
that's one of the best Beavis and Butthead episodes is when they give them the project to grow a plant and they decide to grow in corn because they want to make nachos and they keep stomping on it and yelling grow at it. That's one of the best.
Did you know there's a new one? They have a new movie out.
It's on Paramount
Plus. Have you seen it?
Not yet. I'm gonna watch it with the wife maybe this evening.
Okay. You have to let me know. I don't have Paramount
Plus. Yeah. Yeah, it's
been a... So neither of you guys do the Stranger Things thing.
No, but you're making me want to watch it.
Dude.
The more I see your posts.
So we finished the season Friday, me, Malia, and Kelsey. We had just done an entire series rewatch, so Malia could catch up. Season 4 finale is 2 hours and 30 minutes long.
Yeah, you told us that when we were leaving Friday.
It's something, man. they went for it. It's epic.
You said the music in it's pretty cool, huh?
Oh,
like the 80s style best
soundtrack. I mean, the last song of the last episode's Master of Puppets. So
that's awesome.
But they do it by year, so like the first season's supposed to start in like 1982 or whatever, and it's like all songs from 1982, and it's like so this one was 86. Cool.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, yeah, you gotta. I guess they. They smashed Nielsen ratings records and all kinds of stuff with this last season.
Nice. It's
like the most watched season of streaming show ever. So
4 seasons, right?
Yeah.
That they're at right now?
Yeah,
okay.
And the next one will be the last one. But it was it was pretty epic. It's pretty crazy.
I'll have to binge that and check it out.
Yeah. It's something you should be right up your alley for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I've been going back and watching Better Call Saul now because I got off that. I don't know if you guys are – you didn't like Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. but – it's pretty much the same kind of style, but I like that show a lot. His character's pretty interesting. I think you would like that one more than you like Breaking Bad. I mean, you didn't like Breaking Bad at all. What'd you get through 1 episode?
3.
3. The first season's really slow.
Never caught. Jack, we've talked about you don't watch anything, do you?
Not I tried Breaking Bad. Did you? It was about 2 or 3.
And you just
the first season's very slow. The guy
that was making meth.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, Walter White. He has cancer, and he's trying to get
money. Never grab me. Like usually, like for me in a show, like you better get me for like episode 1. You better have.
I was hooked on Ted Lasso.
See, I've never seen that.
I heard that's a good show. I've never seen
it. Apple possibly.
I bet that is good though. I've heard nothing but good things.
Sudeikis is hilarious.
Yeah,
it's probably great.
Yes,
he won some awards for that. So
that and Duck Dynasty.
I never watched an episode of Duck Dynasty.
Me neither. I've never checked it out.
I can just relate to those guys. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're country as country can be, but they're Louisiana country. I mean,
right.
I look at it. So, I mean, you could put them over here in Poca or down here in wherever.
Right.
Clay County, and they're the same. They're just,
yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I remember they used to come to the Greenbrier every year for the Classic.
I covered for the old Putnam Standard newspaper when we used to have to be down here, and they sent me down there, and I – Well, it was Inania was playing in the tournament that year.
Yeah.
So we went down for the Pro-Am or
great
whatever.
Great guy, by the way, Brian and Anya. Yep.
And I believe it was on Wednesday. And Willie Robertson was supposed to come in, but he didn't make it. Justin Martin, the big guy on that program. And then Jace Robertson came in, and they played with the governor.
Yeah.
And I followed them all the way around for 18 holes that day.
Wow.
They were fun.
And I'm sure they
those
were.
Those dudes could play some golf.
I was about to say, how good was
that Pro-Am day at the Classic was arguably the best day of the week every year.
Yeah, I can see
the year that McAfee and Daly were together was just... McAfee didn't bring a pair of shoes to the golf course. He played barefoot all day. He's on the 18th green, hole and putt. People were throwing beers at him. He's like double barrel Stone Cold Steve Austin right on the flag stick. I'm like, you can tell, like, I'm like looking around and like the crowd's all into it, but I'm looking around like all the guys that are like on the maintenance crew and they're like, come on.
Really? That's great.
But
and then after Wednesday, I got real serious then.
But you can go to the driving range on Pro-Am day, and I can remember just sniping like four straight interviews, and it was like Frank Beamer, Buzz Williams, Denny Hamlin, and like, you know, someone else. Yeah. It was just all walks of life, like different people. It was really fun. Yeah. Shaq was there. Barkley was there. It was a good time.
Daly said recently, if he could, I don't know if it was recently, but I saw that somebody put out that if he could go barefoot and smoke cigarettes while he's on the PGA, that he would win a lot more.
Have you ever played with a barefoot golfer? I know another guy that would never wear shoes on a golf course.
Why is that?
I don't know, but he was really good. He whipped my ass barefoot, and maybe he's on to something. I don't, maybe that's my problem, you think?
Just comfortable or something.
People do a lot of things barefoot. You see people run.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that. My heels would be destroyed.
Yeah. F that. There's no way.
I don't know. I don't know why people do that.
Like, I can't even get on my elliptical barefoot. I have to wear shoes on it.
Yeah. Treadmill, shoes.
Now, Malia, she's somebody who could go barefooted all day, every day. Trust me, because if you
don't put on shoes. I mean, as a kid, I used to go barefooted all the time.
Yeah, I probably did, too. Yeah, that's true. You got at least a lot of pair of Crocs on, right?
Yeah, nowadays,
By the way, I really appreciate Jack's ensemble for Thor.
I know.
He may have had the best dressed award. Shorteroys, socks, Crocs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next year, you need to give out awards.
You're right.
Yeah, that would be good.
Idea.
Should be an award ceremony around 7-ish.
Because you're already doing, you do like little games and stuff there.
Yeah. Next year we're going to, I got a big floodlight in the garage. We should have wheeled it out around so we could have some night cornhole going, but I just.
You forgot about the floodlight.
I got, I was running just trying to make sure everybody was, you know. When you're hosting, it's hard, man.
You had Kitty Fight Club going.
There's
another award right there.
We had a really good.
Shazad still owes me $5.
Did you guys bet on one? I had to get my mom and dad away from that. Like, I was like, come over here and talk to Jack just so you don't pay attention to these kids beating the shit out of each other in the front yard. I have some great friends.
Nah, I put $5 on whoever's kid was in the pink shorts. I like their stance.
And then Malia's like, I want to play. I'm like, no, you don't.
You don't want to.
Her dad is a state champion, former national collegiate Division I wrestler. Yeah. You're not wrestling her.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, so now we had, you know, Kitty Fight Club. We had a slip and slide after we were done bruising, or maybe it was before. I can't remember.
It was before. They had the pool and the slip and slide out there for the kids. Yeah, kids that are in the area.
Shout out to Kels, who took care of the kids for a while. She's MVP when it comes to that stuff. I don't know how she does it, but she's got 12, 15 kids around her, and it's funny watching her jump other kids' stuff. She's firm with Leah now. Yeah. like that.
Yeah.
And she gets kids in order, man. She's good at that. I don't know.
But, a few shout-outs for today. One for Mitch and his pepperoni rolls.
Yeah. Mitch brought the fire with the pepperoni, and that was the first thing I got to eat because he was like the second guy there, and I was in the middle. I was like, just grabbed one and ate it, and I was like, damn, that's really good, dude. So, yeah, he killed it with that. Yeah.
And our guy Beck showed up. Beck has hair for a while.
Yeah, had a wig on.
You know, got him shirtless. The shirtless back.
You really had to pry him.
Yeah.
Did he show up shirtless?
No. It was funny because...
I'm asking you all the questions. I was standing right there probably.
It was funny because he goes to take his shirt off, and some girl over here was like, oh, because she thought he was already there. He was like, no, it was by request. It takes it off. Anyway, you had to let him know he wasn't there yet.
I need to give out food awards, although I'd probably just given it to myself this year because the pulled pork was out of control, guys. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we, food was great.
The thing, my mom also homemade the slaw, too. It was a pairing.
Slaw was good.
It was a pairing. If you got the pulled pork with some slaw, that was a whole other level of culinary delight right there. So
I missed the pulled pork somehow.
Yeah, it was in the back in the slow cooker. It's not like your typical barbecue stuff. I took a sauce, a marinade chicken and apricot chipotle sauce. And it worked out perfect on pulled pork, so.
For sure.
It was good.
All right, we got, are we calling
coach? Yeah, we're doing a show here, aren't we? we're going to have Scott football coach Jeremy Dolan on. Okay. Talk a little bit about the Skyhawks.
Awesome. One of my favorite mascots.
We need to come up with like a definitive list of mascots.
Skyhawks rocks.
Because it's a top tenner, I think, easily. So, yeah. We'll give him a call and talk some Sky football.
All right. So, we'll take a quick break. Be back with our Scoop and Sports segment with Jeremy Dolan from Scott. Next here on the Railway Show with Ryan Burton. Welcome back to the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt here on HD Media Sports, along with Video Productions. And we got another edition of our Scoop and Score segment here with Scott High, head football coach, Jeremy Dolan. Coach, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you guys for having me.
So, you coming off playoffs last year, and you're going into your second year. How you feeling about this this year?
Well, really excited about the progression that we've seen during the offseason. We've averaged probably 35 to 40 kids every day in the weight room since the Monday after Thanksgiving. Last year, it was a little hard getting kids in the workout. This year, the motivation for kids to be there has been, them just the excitement with the program and what we accomplished last year. So it's been a lot easier getting those kids to come through the door. I think in all, we've seen close to 60 kids at different times throughout off-season conditioning and through our three-week period, which we had from June the 6th to the 25th, and then actually used three flex days last week. So we had about 40 kids again last week doing our 7-on-7 at Logan. So really excited with where the program's headed. I think we're going to be pretty good this year and probably improve in certain areas, and got some areas that we need to kind of get figured out, but real excited.
What'd you do for the fourth, man?
Actually, the family and I went down to Carowinds, and we was down there Saturday and Sunday. We came back, and then we had a cookout yesterday at my in-laws. So.
Nice. A few coasters?
What's that? You said, we rode a few coasters. So.
Okay, I've never been to Carowinds. So, any big good ones down there you like?
They got the Fury 325, which is 325 feet tall. It's the biggest giga coaster in the United States, so it gets up to 95 miles an hour. So it's a pretty good one.
All right, I'm sold. I'm going to Carowinds, actually. I was reading up a little bit and doing some research, and correct me if I'm wrong here. I was reading a story that Phil Perry wrote. Obviously, he's one of us in HD Media now. You kind of been with this group since the youth league into middle school and now into high school, right?
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of the freshmen, going to be sophomores and incoming freshmen, I've been with since they were about 7 or 8 years old. Went to the midget leagues, and then it just kind of happened to work out that the middle school job came open in 2020. So I took the Madison middle school job, and then it was weird that, the high school job came open. So I put my name in the hat for it. Luckily, I was selected to do that. So, I've been blessed to have a lot of the same kids for, 7, 8, 9 years now.
How much does that help, that transition, when you've had these kids since they were 6, 7, 8, 9 years old?
Yeah.
Well, it helps a great deal, because they have a familiarity with myself and a lot of the guys that coach with me. Even my offense coordinator, he and I had never coached together until last year. He always coached the kids that were like a year or two older than this group. So we were both wing T guys. So it kind of just fell into place. And he and I have good had a good relationship, friendship. So bringing him on board was just natural. So a lot of the kids I hadn't coached, they hadn't played under him at some point in time because he was the middle school coach 2 years prior to me taking a middle school job. So it's worked out great as far as us having a familiarity with most of these kids and getting to watch them develop over the years. You know, you see some of them, they take leaps and bounds and, you know, in the weight room and stuff this off season. So, and it's a lot of it's because of their familiarity with us and them buying into the program.
Yeah. You're already seeing that too. I was reading through here, 2014 was the last time you guys or the program had a 500 or above record, I believe is what was how many years since that?
Yeah, so, it was, yeah, 2014 yeah. was the last year they made the playoffs. And
I mean, that's amazing.
The years combined, yeah, from 15 to 2020, they had won 13 games combined. And wow. And the 3 years prior to that, they had only won 4 games combined. So for us to jump to 7 wins in our first year was a big big success for us. You know, we kind of looked at it as if we could get to 4 wins and match what they had got over the last 3 years, that would be a huge, huge success. But we had kids, I mean, that, like I said, that returned. We didn't have a lot of them. When we inherited the program, I think the team finished with 23 on the roster in 2020 due to, you know, COVID and injuries and other things. So then you had 4 of those kids graduated, and then that we had 6 that either had moved out of state or transferred to other schools within the county. I think when we by the time the season started last year, we had 11 returners from the 2020 team. So and we had 47 on the roster at one point. We finished with 41. Lost a couple of them due to, you know, people quitting grades. But so the, you know, fact that we inherited basically 11 kids and was able to go out and find 30 more to finish with was a big success as well. And that was us recruiting the hallways. We got a lot of kids, you know, like a kid like Landon Stone and Kevin White, who were big time basketball players for our basketball program, which is a pretty good program under Sean Ballard. Mm-hmm. And we convinced them to come out and play. Kevin Neal, who was a soccer player under Coach Boyd in the Scott soccer program, which was pretty good. He came out and played. Some of these boys hadn't played since midget league and came out and were big time contributors. Kevin's actually going to go to Concord and kick up there. And Landon, he was All-State honorable mention. So we got some really good athletes that came out and played for us last year that helped carry the program along with we were lucky enough to have a bunch of offensive linemen that have returned and Cody Nance and Hayden Lawson, Will Elkins, and some of those. Cody Nance ended up being second team All-State playing in the North-South game. So we did it. The few kids we did inherit some talented ones, and we were able to go out and recruit some. And then, like I said, some of the younger kids that we had came in, and some of our incoming freshmen and returning sophomores. Our quarterback, Matt Fry, had a big year last year, throwing for over 1,500 yards, accounted for 22 touchdowns, which isn't bad for a kid, you know, when we're 75-25 run the pass. And then we had a couple of freshmen and Carson Brenniger and David Tennessee that played some big roles offensively and defensively for us this year. And we got a lot of incoming freshmen that played here and there that are going to take some big jumps this year and play as sophomores for us.
Yeah, you know, Brandon and I were talking before we came on air just about, you know, the Skyhawks being one of the best mascots in the state, and it is. And, you know, I've been pretty fortunate. I've got to cover games at probably over 15 years, at least half of the schools in the state, maybe a little more. And, you know, a lot of people probably don't know that on a Friday night, you take your stadium. I mean, you got the inflatable hawk blowing smoke all over the place. You guys run out in black. I mean, it's one of the coolest places. It's one of my 5 favorite places to watch a high school football game. And when you guys are winning, you get a lot of support, too. That place gets pretty rowdy. So I got to imagine putting some butts back in the seats up there and getting some buzz going for this program has really helped here the last year, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, and the community, they bought in 100%, and they've done it by not only being there on Friday nights. We they contribute a lot of money to the program and help us, you know, be able to afford those uniforms and equipment, stuff like that. And Mr. Atkins, Chris Atkins actually owns the Hawk, and he loans that to us and allows us to use it and stuff. But Friday nights they're pretty intense there. You know, we always dreamed about playing there and coaching there, you know, on Friday nights as a staff, and being there with that group of kids is special. And, you know, I remember the first night, you know, we played Hoover, which was a daunting task in itself, you know, a program that's struggled over the years. And, you know, we knew it was going into a pretty good, going up against a pretty good team, well-coached Joey there. And we held our own that night. Had we not got down our 14-0 early, you know, may have been a little closer. We kind of put ourselves in a bind with a bad snap on a punt, and then we had an interception. They were turned down inside the five, and next thing you know, it was 14-0 inside 4 minutes. And I know a lot of people probably sitting in the stands was like, oh, here we go again. But our team showed a lot of grit that night. It was 14-9 going into the half. And of course, they were a little deeper than us, and it was hot and humid, and they were the better team that night. And, yeah, came out and sustained a long drive in the third and kind of put the game away. But honestly, you think losing 24-9, that's a loss. But and sometimes I don't like to take a loss and use it as a win, but it was a win in a way for our program because it proved that we could play with just about anybody because we knew Hoover was going to be the best team in the state, you know, probably that year, and which they finished undefeated and stuff, and just they ran into a buzzsaw number 16 seed, knocked them out.
But, probably the greatest 16 seed ever.
Yeah,
I would say. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a good night. And then, like I said, we had a game against our county rival Sherman, and the stands were packed. I remember, you know, a lot of times I tune a lot of things out behind me and just focus on what's going on in front of me. I remember a couple of times I had to glance over my shoulder and just look at the amount of people that was there. So it was. It was unbelievable, and saying it carried out throughout the entire season. Even when we traveled to Robert C. Byrd, we had more people sitting in the stands from Boone County than Robert C. Byrd had sitting in the home stand. So that's a testament to the community and the support we've gotten from our student body and the people that live in the community.
Coach, speaking of community support, I saw where you put a little challenge out to the noodle arms of Boone County down there at the Coal Festival. Did you go home as dry as you arrived there that night?
No, I was a little bit wet, but honestly, I went to practice earlier that day, and then by the time I got there, and it was about 95, but the heat index, I think it was about 104 that day, I didn't mind getting wet. So actually, I wish a few more would have probably hit the target.
Nice. That's cool. All right, we done with the football question. Want to have some fun?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's have some fun. All right, Coach, you ready to have some fun with us? A little 12-pack of questions here. What we do is the three of us each have four random questions. Some are sports, got a little bit of sport related to them, and some of them are has nothing to do with sports altogether.
Kind of like our show.
All right.
There you go. Yeah.
A lot of it just is nothing, so we'll just do that.
All right, we'll start with this one. Favorite song to sing alone in a car or shower? Do you let it belt out in the shower?
Probably Lithium by Nirvana.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I mean, that's going to flow right into this. I dig it. All right, then, Desert Island album. What's your favorite record of all time?
Well, Nevermind by Nirvana probably is my favorite. But if I was on a desert island and I had to listen to one, I'd probably want something a little bit more upbeat. So my second favorite would maybe the choice for that, probably The Chronic by Dr. Dre. I know two different genres.
I love it.
Right around the same age.
I want to be on the island with you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I want to come to practice when Drain You and Let's Get High go back.
You'll hear everything in our locker room. Our boys, like, I let them run the speaker system, Bluetooth, yeah. And you'll hear anything from Johnny Cash to Dr. Dre to Lil Baby. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
That's cool.
It's
cool.
All right, Coach, I know we just had July 4th and the cookouts. What's on your perfect hot dog?
Chili, slaw, onions, and mustard.
Pretty close to everybody. Every coach has pretty much said.
I've like been writing down every
onion,
coach.
Onion is the dividing line.
I could do with or without the onion. I like onion, but it's not a make or break. Slaw and chili and mustard for sure, though. But I do like onions if it's available.
All right. All right, since you jacked in a food question, I'll do this one. You're on death row. What's your last meal?
Ooh, probably something from the Mexican restaurant. I got a few different dishes from your different choices. I'd probably go Mexican.
Okay.
You know, I was going to ask him if a visitor comes to watch a game where he should go eat and what he should order, but I think he just answered.
Yeah.
Our local Mexican restaurant, the left, Hacienda's, I heard rumor they were coming back. They closed right around COVID, but they haven't came back yet. So
what's the restaurant over in town there you get the home cooking from?
Park Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They've been around for years. Actually, yeah. There's some distant relation of mine.
See, people don't know this unless you've covered games down there, but they used to cater that Mexican restaurant into the press box. I'm just be up there eating some chimichangas while watching Scott play. I mean, yeah, you said it. Yeah, that's tough.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's not even a fair fight at that point. You know,
it's hard to beat.
All right, we'll go.
Well, this. If you come down though, I advise you to go to the away concession stand. Okay. So, one, the football program can get that money, but two, we got Darlene McClure who cooks in there, so she makes a lot of homemade stuff, and there's hot fudge brownies. And homemade barbecues, different games.
Oh my God.
She has like a real nice menu of food. And here's the thing. Before I became the head coach, I knew there was a way concession stand. Had no idea we had hot fudge cakes over the whole time. I've been eating out of that. My wife made me eat out of the home concession stand anyways because my daughter was in the band as a majorette.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was all that good food over there and I had no clue. So.
Okay. I appreciate it. See, that's the insider info we're looking for.
There you go.
Right there. Yeah. Coach, what's your game day superstition?
It goes back to eating. I can't eat before a game, so I'll eat breakfast that morning and maybe an early lunch, but I won't eat again until after the game. If I eat before a game, I feel like I get sick, so I guess nerves and stuff. And then I like to be the last one out the locker room. I don't like being the first one out of the locker room, so that's probably my two big things.
All right. Do you own or wear a pair of Crocs? I guess if you own them, you do wear them.
Yeah. No, I don't own a pair. So I don't know that I've ever had a pair on.
The second coach hasn't had them.
I haven't either.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I got 5 pair of Hey Dudes.
Yeah.
Looked at those.
Do you endorse the Hey Dude thing? Should I go that route?
I've seen a couple.
That's Payne the most something? Comfortable. I love them. I wear them to work, wear them to football practice, wear them around the amusement park. They're super comfortable on your feet.
So. Sounds like they're in the family of the Crocs, maybe. Sort of.
They're more like, I don't know. They're more like,
they're like house slippers.
They're like, yeah I was going to say, they're almost like they're just a slip on, almost like a boat shoe.
Hey Dudes are the new Crocs. I just figured that out. Check on this
show. It is. And actually, I think it was the players wearing them in the locker room that got me to notice them. They started telling me about it. And they were like, Coach, you got to get a pair. They're super comfortable. And the next thing I know, I got one pair, and then I ended up with 5. So all different colors.
All right, I like this one. Movie or show that you've cried to that you would never publicly admit to until now?
Oh, Lord. Really? Well, I don't know if you guys remember 90210, but when I remember when Dylan's wife, Luke Perry's wife, got killed on that show, I remember as a teenager crying. And then first time I cried at a movie was watching E.T. when I was about 5 and my dad made fun of me.
Yeah, that's a tough
that's
one.
That's good, yeah. I like that.
Your dad made fun of you?
Yeah. He's a little hard on me sometimes.
Dads.
Sucking up. A few
stories like that.
That's great.
If they were to make a movie about your life, what actor would you want to play you?
Oh, goodness. Personality-wise, I'm not real sure. Maybe Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, okay.
I like that. Yeah.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to say The Rock, but.
He could play you.
I'm not that cool.
The good thing about Chris Pratt is he could play him, and then he could also kill a velociraptor in the same movie, which is always helpful.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. You said you went down to Carowinds Coast. What's your favorite vacation spot?
Oh, Disney World, hands down.
Ooh, should we let him and Brandon just talk about Disney World?
Brandon just went there.
Brandon just got back from Disney World, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And you didn't enjoy it?
Pass. Nah, it was all right. It was okay.
a lot of money, a lot of lines, and some hot weather. I think that was. Yeah. Well, plus, Brandon had a whole breakdown on the toll, but it was a whole thing. It was a whole show in and of itself. So,
I've got it down to a science. So. And one thing is, you got to realize you can't do everything while you're there.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of do multiple trips, and then two. You just can't be in a hurry. And if you know how to use the system as far as getting on the rides and stuff, you won't have to wait too long.
They got the app, too, that we had to follow along with.
So. Now, that app I don't care much for. The old system was a lot better. But we went in November, and then we went again in March. So we kind of figured it out in March, so it was a lot easier. Plus, it was just my wife and I in March, so we didn't have the 3 kids arguing about what ride to go to and all that. So it's a lot easier when you don't have to do
that. That's a dream there. You got the dream one.
Adult Disney trips are great.
Yeah.
Honestly. So if you ever get a chance to do one, so it's a little more laid back and you get to pick what good restaurants you get to eat at and all those.
Nice. Is this the last one for all of us here?
Yeah. Okay.
Last three here. If you could create a new Olympic sport to compete in where you're sure to win a gold medal, what would it be? It could be anything. Lord, you can create anything.
That's a hard one. I really don't.
I've stumped a few coaches with that one.
Yeah.
That is tough, though.
I mean, outside of coaching football and.
You get a cornhole?
I'm work and watch TV. No.
Okay.
I'm actually horrible at cornhole. So
okay.
You would think. But no, I don't really know what I would create that would guarantee me a gold medal.
All right. Go ahead, Ryan.
All right. Deer meat or trout fillets? What are you eating?
Trout.
Oh, okay.
I like trout.
Nice.
Do you fish a lot?
I fish a little bit. My dad's a big fisherman, so I fish with him every now and then. But no, I don't fish a lot. But I do like. I just enjoy the taste of fish a lot more than I do deer. There you go.
Jack, wrong answer there.
Coach, do you ever score a touchdown while playing football? This would be midget, middle school, junior high, or high school.
Did I ever score one?
Yes.
Yeah, in midget league.
In midget league.
Yeah.
What position did you play?
Mostly I played line, so yeah. Either that or tight end. So,
did you was it a scoop?
Every now and then they throw a big guy.
Was it a scoop and score?
No, just got a chance to line up in the backfield.
There you go.
Okay. There you go. Nice.
You ever try, like, you know, if you're up a couple scores late in the game, do you ever throw one of your big dudes back there, you know, just kind of pay it forward a little bit?
Yeah, we have in the midget league quite a bit, actually. So I remember we went up one time to play. I won't name the team because I don't want to sound like I'm putting them down, but they weren't very good that year. So I lined every kid up and gave them a chance to run a 2-point conversion as long as they were within the weight limit to run one.
Awesome. All right, Coach. Well, appreciate your time here on the show.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks for talking to us.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me. It's always a good day to get to talk some football. So.
Right. Yeah, we'll see you soon. Good luck
this year.
All right, thank you guys.
All right. There he goes.
Jeremy Dolan. Skyhawks were a good story last year.
Yeah. I forgot how long it had been since they had.
It hadn't seemed like it had been that long.
I just happened to look, and I was like, wow, 2014, that's crazy.
I mean, there was a year there. Was 12, 13, 14 had to be somewhere in that they were ranked number one in the state going into like week 8. They were really good there for a couple years under Shane Griffith. And, you know, probably the second best high school football game I ever saw was Scott at Nicholas County in a first round first round game. And then it went to triple overtime. I think it was an 8-9 game. And it was right toward the end of Griffith's run there. But, you know, they were really good for couple years there. So.
Yeah, I liked him a lot too.
Yeah,
Coach Griffith, he's a good dude. I like talking to him, and just to, like you said, that community is really supportive.
Yeah.
Anytime I've ever interacted with any of the coaches that have been a coach there or whatever, it's always been mass support. So,
but you know that is. I mean, I wasn't making that. That's one of my favorite places to watch a high school football game. I love that place.
I wonder what he does with that hawk. When it's not football,
does he use that? Question. We need to run that guy down.
Yeah,
just to find out where the hawk is. Just
put it right in your front yard.
Hey, Scott's
backer. Yeah,
Scott's a favorite of Chris Wade's too. He's a big Scott guy.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
yeah, can't beat it. Field lives down there, and that's where I stay. I stay at the West Madison Marriott.
Okay,
when I go down there.
Okay. So, yeah.
The accommodations are, you know, 5-star.
Yeah, they take care of that box. I'm telling you, it's the only place I've ever gotten to eat chimichangas and watch a football game.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, nice. Man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But I wanted to ask. I knew he was a big guy, so I figured he was a lineman back in his day. I wanted to ask him about scoring a touchdown.
Oh, that was a good question.
I didn't score a touchdown in high school. I remember scoring some in junior high as a running back, but high school I played mostly defense.
I scored a few in midget league.
Yeah,
I was a fullback.
Coach Castro gave me an opportunity my senior year against Milton, and. It was a bad pitch, is what I'm going to say. I didn't fumble, and it was a bad pitch.
Back when Milton and Barbersville were separate schools.
Yeah, the Milton Greyhounds.
Milton Greyhounds.
Yeah. Barbersville Pirates.
Yeah.
Had some good teams.
That's cool.
I don't think we have any Pirates left in the state, do we?
No, because Fayetteville is no longer around.
I don't think they have any Pirates.
Hopefully they can just open 6 more schools and call them all Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots.
Yeah.
Cougars.
It's Patriots is in our state.
Yeah.
It's like 12 of them.
Yeah.
I think, and my favorite's when you got to write this. My favorite's when you got to write a story about Washington and George Washington playing each other. And they're both
Wheeling Park in Washington. Or,
yeah.
Yeah. There's, yeah. We went through the schools one time.
It's a lot.
To see how many.
Trail.
Yeah. What is there? Like 16 or more?
No, I don't think
11. 11. What was the number that we had? 8?
6, 7, 8.
8. Okay. To remember. I don't know why I said 16.
But I think we could all appreciate more creativity in nicknaming. Skyhawks are pretty damn good.
Yeah, I know. That's great. Yeah. Well, we're still up for anybody wanting to send us stuff, too. Like little...
yeah, that just never happens.
We're still up for it. We'll have to put it out there.
We have to put Jack's address. Send it straight to the studio.
We need a P.O. box.
Jack, give him your address.
We can get one in P.O. boxes pretty easily.
Yeah. So. No way. I know where you live now. So.
Send it to Ryan's house.
Yeah.
Although they'd have to drop it off at the front because no one's allowed, I guess, to drive down your gravel road.
Yeah, I don't,
delivery
get,
drivers.
I don't get mail there. I'm a P.O. box guy.
Really?
Yep. Poca Post Office.
Yep. Is it true that the pizza places won't drive down?
No one will deliver to
the
my
Pizza
house.
Hut that used to be there in St. Albans would not deliver to my neighborhood. Right. They said you had to pick it up at 7-Eleven down there.
They'll deliver to the boat dock, though.
That makes no sense.
I'm 100 yards away.
So you have to drive down there and meet them?
I mean, yeah, but at that point, I'm just going
to drive. You might as well just go
and get it and save the delivery fee.
Yeah.
Even though I saw where pizza places are starting to throw that into the cost. I saw that Domino's ran an ad the other day, and it was like, all of these items are $5.99 for pickup, or we'll deliver them to you for $6.99. I'm like,
what?
Wait, what? Like, okay.
I thought they already normally have a delivery fee, but why are they adding it into the?
Well, of course, price now that gas is $106 a gallon, I guess
that's true. That's probably
plus tips. Plus tip. Yeah, I don't understand how we do tipping in this country anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't give you the 15%.
Like, why are you putting a tip jar like up here at Subway? Like, look.
Yeah,
I'm not knocking anyone's job at all, okay? But a tip is for service.
Yeah.
You're not waiting on me. You didn't come get my order from a table and go back there and, like, I don't tip people at Taco Bell for making tacos. And, yeah. I don't tip people at Wendy's for making burgers. Why am I tipping someone at Subway for making a sandwich? It's the same thing.
Do you tip for a carryout?
No.
You guys ever do that?
I went and got it.
Drove there.
I don't either.
Kelsey does every time. I'm like,
my wife gets on me.
I'm like, you are feeding into the problem.
Yeah, my wife will get on me if I'm like, no,
I
went here.
Will not do it.
I called them, placed the order,
gas money.
I drove there.
I paid them for the food. Tip is for service.
Yeah,
it's for extra.
Right.
You didn't do anything extra.
Put it in a bag. Yeah, I don't do that.
Now that we've officially alienated everyone that was already listening to this show.
Dude, I couldn't stand the Grubhub drivers delivering Papa John's pizzas and saying, it pissed me off so much.
Well, I've never used Grubhub ever because I'm not 1%.
I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know it just did it.
Back in 2020, we did.
I didn't know they could do that.
Brandon had his groceries delivered. He used to use Grubhub.
I didn't know they could do that. I'm serious. I didn't do it. I mean, it was on there. I thought it was
peeing in public pools. It's 1%er all day.
It's not a public pool. It's a private pool.
I pee in a pool, too, but it's the river in front of my house. Actually, I don't even get in there. But
I would not
swim. If I did, I would. Oh, I would definitely swim in there, for sure. I don't have time. That's my problem.
You'd go swimming in there?
Oh, yeah. I grew up swimming in there, when it was way worse than it is now.
I've swam across the Kanawha River twice in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I would be like 5 years old. This is like 1989. My grandpa would have a life jacket, just throw me off, wait around for a while.
I've never swam in the Kanawha River.
Really?
Just never have. I would do it, but I've never
road trip then.
It's really like, and really, it's not that bad. It's not as bad as it used to be. Like in the 80s and 70s, it was pretty nasty. But they've gone a long way to clean it up.
Yeah.
And depending on where you are, like if you get up above the London Locks, I would eat stuff out of there. Like in the
London Lock, yeah.
Get up above like Marmette, like up into that area where it's pretty, it just comes together, just what, 15 miles up above that, pretty much?
It comes together at Gully Bridge.
Right there, the Gully and the New come together. Yeah. I've eaten fish out of the New River before.
Now that's a perfect place right there where the Gully and the New come together.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on the new, where the new is, and it widens out there before the falls.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about, I know some people's got some property right there in the house. It is primo.
There's going to be nice.
There's the one guy that lives literally out on that rock island in the middle of the new river, and he's just got a paddle boat in front of the house.
You talking about that house that's out in the middle? Yeah, I've seen
it. It's a bus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like it's something.
But the only way he can get over there is by boat.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's
great security.
Yeah, it is.
That is, yeah.
The only place I've ever seen cooler than that, and this is like off on a tangent, but when I was in Homer, Alaska, you're like back in this big inland, right? And they've got the marina in there, and you go jump on a boat, and they take you deep sea fishing. Well, it takes you like 25 minutes to get out of the harbor on a boat. Like, this is like miles inland. Mm-hmm. And you're coming out, and you're seeing like seals, whales are rolling around, and it like opens out, and you're out into the ocean. And I looked over on the left, on the point of the harbor, where like the open ocean meets the harbor, there's a log cabin with a fire going and a boat, and that's it. There's no road. He takes his little John boat with a motor. And turns it all the way back in and goes into the harbor to get like whatever he needs. Supplies, and he just lives out there. And I'm like, that is awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
you could just stand out there and just watch whatever swim by. Yeah. That's cool.
Good to go. That's an existence right there. Like, that guy's got it figured out.
That guy's living life to the fullest.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You want to take a break and come back and wrap this up?
All right. Let's take a break. Back here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Brandt. Here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt, HD Media Sports Video Productions. We've had a great show, and now it's time to talk a little conference realignment stuff.
Well,
boys.
First, just real quick, as you know, usually I'm just looking at our ugly mugs and Jack's beautiful mug up on the TV over there. Novak Djokovic from two sets down in Wimbledon. I think the match lasted 11 hours and 16 minutes. It wasn't that long, but it was a long time. Looks like he just pulled one out there. So Brandon's boy, no. That's Brandon's guy, Novak Djokovic. Here.
My guy? What do you mean?
You just seemed pretty enamored with him when he first came on. Didn't you think so?
He never loses.
Yeah. Does this guy ever lose?
Yeah.
That sounds like somebody would be your guy.
Nah. Oh, yeah. Thanks. Appreciate that. I don't even watch the sport, but every time I see highlights of him or whatever he's doing, he's always winning. So
yeah.
Seems like he'd never lose.
He's got the royal family standing over there. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're at home watching Wimbledon, that's where we are. Anyway, so back to college athletics. That's a little something went down there last week, huh, since we've last been on. That happened it was the day before because I was giving you hell about it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, we talked about it.
Fire him up.
UCLA.
But things are continuing to evolve as we figured they would.
The arms race continues as the Big 12 has been rumored. Nothing's been... solid, or anybody said that it's going to happen. But
my neighbor's son has a girlfriend. Her dad's grandfather told him that W to the ACC.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
okay. Yeah, well, that's good.
Well, go ahead, folks. Write that down.
So I'm going to write according to my sources.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what
you do. Saw a lot of that, too, whenever people talk about the Big 12 thing. Yeah. But you proposed a good question on Twitter, too.
And I was going to bring that up. So I threw a question. Sometimes I do like to just throw stuff on Twitter just to gauge the opinion of people. So my thing was, what happens if the Big 12 reaches out to both Arizona schools, Utah and Colorado? And then last night, there was a report on Twitter that that has indeed happened.
Yeah.
I don't know how strong of a source it was. Now, the site that was tweeting it out had like 250,000 followers, so it's probably pretty legit.
Yeah.
And it just makes too much sense not to happen if you think about the geography of it. And I broke it down. I think the East-West division thing would be really good. Makes a lot of sense for everybody. But, of course, you know, I threw this out there to people last week. I'm like, hey, you know, what would you think? And it was, like, overwhelmingly, like, negative. No way. That's terrible for W. We're leaving.
W, the ACC.
To which my reply is, okay, well, if you don't like that, what would you rather do?
Right.
You're not getting in the ACC.
Yeah.
Not right now.
No.
You already tried that once. Didn't work. Same schools that are in it then are in it now. What's the difference?
As soon as Clemson, we were talking about that before, as soon as Clemson makes a phone call to the SEC.
That's like West Virginia's only hope of getting in, but at that point, why would you want in?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just going to be imploded. Because like you said, once Clemson leaves, Florida State's going to leave, Miami's going to want to go to the SEC, and all the ones with the bigger brands are going to want to go to where all the other schools are going, because that's where the money is going too.
Where does Oregon
that's
go?
That's the biggest thing I was going to
bring that up. That
he brought that up at
Phil Knight cookout. Is not going to be left out of
they're anything. The crown jewel of this.
That's what I'm saying.
So you read this stuff, and it's hard to know what's real and what's not. But one thing I've read in a couple different places, and again, I'm not saying this is true, but it kind of makes sense, is that USC and UCLA are trying to actively block Oregon and Washington from coming to the Big Ten.
Okay.
Because they feel like they have a major West Coast recruiting advantage over those schools if they're in and they're not.
Right.
So if that is true, why does the Big 12 not call Oregon and Washington? And that's a little bit further to go, obviously. Yeah. But, hell, if we're going to do coast-to-coast in the Big 10.
Everybody's flying in planes anyway.
Let's just do it in the Big 12 too, right?
Right, yeah.
Because I don't think the SEC is going up there to get them, right?
No.
Don't need to.
And I mean, what's the Pac-12's next move? Fresno?
They're destroyed.
San Diego State, both of which are good programs. Don't get me wrong.
Pac-12 is going to be just.
I mean, you can argue that San Diego State's been as good of a program as
UCLA.
It's Houston for the last 10 years.
They've been better than even UCLA for the past. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Of course, it's different competition, but I get it.
They have options, but I mean, they're not going to do anything that. I mean, there's clearly a two-league separation now. Clearly, as if there wasn't already. I think there was the last 2 or 3 years, too.
But I think, you know, like you said, if UCLA and USC are blocking Oregon, then the next one is Oregon to the Big 12.
Right.
So now you've got three big conferences. Now, I know your point of there's going to be you wrote an article about two. Oregon just holds Oregon's way too much.
You're right. Oregon is the jewel right now. Yeah. You're right.
How many of these colleges wear that Nike emblem on their jersey?
But then it gets to a place where how many teams are you going to bring in? How big are these leagues willing to get?
320s?
Because, I really believe when I wrote the tweet about the Arizona schools, Colorado, and Utah, I just did it because it makes sense. I really believe that's on the table, and I think that's going to happen.
Sure.
But that puts the Big 12 at 16.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to tell Oregon no, obviously, but are you willing to go to 18?
I think it's going to be 320s.
Yeah, and maybe it will. Because
ACC is going to implode eventually, and the Pac-12 is already imploding.
So what does Texas and Oklahoma give the SEC 16? Is that right?
Yep.
And then UCLA and USC give the Big Ten 16, right? So no one's pushed past the 16 barrier right. yet.
Not yet.
Yep.
So who's the first team? Because remember, like that's all well and good. But for every team you bring in, that's a smaller piece of the pie for everyone else when it comes to money. Now, Oregon, of course, is a whole different game because they bring so much money and that helps everyone else. Yep. So, I mean, does the Big 12 say, you know what? We'll take Colorado, Utah, Oregon, and Washington and leave the Arizona schools out?
It's the better schools.
Because geography, as we know, means absolutely nothing in all of this.
Yeah.
Because the Arizona schools make so much. Like, I would say Texas Tech's probably closer to Arizona and Arizona State than they almost are Houston. And they're in the same damn state.
Yeah.
Knowledge-wise, it probably is.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. The Arizona schools definitely make sense. All that Southwest down there. I mean, you got all the Texas schools. You got Arizona's right next.
Like, and see, it gets weird because if I'm, those are six schools we talked about, right? I mean, if you're to put the, if you're just someone's like, all right, pick the four best schools of that. Oregon's one. And I would put Utah, Washington, and Arizona State as the next three. But are you going to take Arizona State, leave out Arizona, and you're going to leave Colorado out? Someone's getting Colorado. Big Ten might do it. I don't know.
Utah is just in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, Utah is a great program in a lot of sports.
Yeah.
But then you get into these schools blocking other schools, right? Well, guess who the Big 12 just brought in? BYU.
Yeah.
Who would block Utah? Probably BYU. It's a big recruiting advantage if they're in a Power 5 conference and Utah's not.
Yeah, that's true.
So do you get into that? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But Oregon, you're right. Oregon is the next step. Absolutely. That's the team to watch because they're not just going to sit there. And I think wherever they go, Washington's coming too. So Washington's a great pro. I mean, that's
what about Oregon State?
Again.
Oregon, wherever, I don't know, because then you're like,
no, see, I don't
want to be rivals.
I don't think you're getting both. I think you're getting one or the other. And so, which kind of makes me like, how did
so you're saying there's going to be, if we
it's
go
all
to,
about recruiting at that point, like
if
you
we
said.
Go to three power conferences at 20 apiece, somebody's going to be left out.
There's going to be a lot of people
there's
left
be a
out.
Lot, yeah.
Well, that's, you know, people were freaking out about this for WU fans. I'm not sure it's not a good thing in the long run for WU. They're already in the Big 12. If the Big 12 is one of them, I don't think they're going to kick them out, right?
Because you got to, I mean, you got to think, well, you, like you said, Clemson, Florida State, Miami to the SEC.
It's that's going to happen, probably.
That's
pretty
much
going to
be.
And they'll probably take one more, too.
A death It'll to the ACC.
Virginia Tech, probably. Something
makes
like
sense.
That. One of those. But see, here's the other thing, though.
North Carolina
and Duke ain't getting left out. There's too much money there.
Yeah.
So they're going somewhere.
So maybe four. We go from five to four. I don't know. There's no.
The Pac-12 is the one that's in the most trouble.
I don't see a way there's four. Because so
there's got to be somebody left out unless you go above the 20.
Like. I think Notre Dame's going to have to make it. They're going to have to go to the Big Ten. That's going to have to happen. And I think that's, I don't know if that happens in the next month, but in the next 5 years that happens. So who's the Big Ten taking with Notre Dame? Colorado? I don't know who it is, right? Yeah. Once that happens, the SEC is going to turn. I still think Clemson's the crown jewel. That makes too much sense. It's geographically there. Unless, you know, South Carolina's trying to block it. But even at that point, I think it, well, I mean, Texas A&M was trying to block Texas from getting in, and the rest of SEC was like, shut up, they're coming in. I think that's what would happen with Clemson,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
I don't know if Florida even tries to block Florida State or Miami, but I do think Florida State or Miami would try to block the other.
SEC does a trade with the ACC. They're like, we'll take Clemson. You guys have South Carolina.
First-round pick in 2020.
It's a draft. We're doing a draft now.
Why can't we just turn all the teams back, like, loose and just have, like, a four-conference draft?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm the Big 12, I'm going for Oregon right now. I'm not going to wait around.
No, I think you're right.
And I'm going to force
the
other conferences. I'm going to force their hand on it.
Another thing about the Big 12 that you got to remember is they're undergoing a change at the top right now. I mean, do you step straight in and be like, all right,
maybe that's why
guns blazing,
maybe that's
go.
Why the change has happened.
Maybe. Yeah, and it's so hard to know. I agree with you. I think Oregon is – if the Big 12 got Oregon – a lot of your concerns about the Big 12 go away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially if they bring Washington with them. Because Washington's a prestigious university. It's a pretty big school.
So it gives you Oregon, Washington, and BYU. So
that's a good footprint.
BYU carry that get was bigger than people realized.
That's a great pick.
BYU's got that's a lot of money right there. I haven't seen anywhere. I don't know. I still think the Big Ten is going to try to get after Oregon. I don't know how they don't. And I remember I was just going on that UCLA-USC trying to block them thing, but hell, those two just got there. What if the other 14 teams in the league are like, shut the hell up?
Very well could. Yeah. SEC, like you said, did it with Texas.
What's going to be
weird? It's all
about
money, man.
What's going to be weird is just like USC and UCLA to the Big Ten is still so weird.
Yeah.
Did you see that post on Facebook where it was like that guy squinting and it was like USC the first time Iowa rolls six tight ends in the same offensive formation? I'm thinking, like, Stanford hasn't been doing that for 15 years. Right. What about Stanford?
Oh, we forgot about Stanford.
Talk about some money.
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there.
Stanford would be.
Or schools.
I mean, Stanford would be a good pickup.
One of the most prestigious universities in the United States. Like, that's, and that's academics, but still, there's a lot of money that comes with Stanford. Maybe they
form a new conference with them and Vanderbilt.
And I mean, the state university in the biggest state in the country, Cal. Cal's not going anywhere. Yeah.
And that's a prestigious.
Cal, yeah. So you know, Cal and Stanford. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man.
When does Congress get involved?
When does can you imagine the Big 12 just told West Virginia and Cincy to kick rocks and they just bring in, like, what? The uproar in the state would just be, oh my God. It's not happening. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Everyone calm down. I'm just saying, though, like, if the Big 12 is like, you know what?
I should go ahead and edit that part out just so there's not an uproar.
We're just going to take.
No, I'm
just going to take West Virginia, Cincy, UCF.
W has been kicked out of Big 12.
All you guys can get out of here. We're just going to be a western half of the United States Conference and just left them. Can you imagine?
Well, I know a lot of people would like that.
A little bit of me would enjoy that on Twitter a little too much.
Being in the Big 12.
How does that work? I mean, can other people in the league just decide to kick somebody out?
I have not looked that up. I don't know how that works. There's probably
some.
There's a lot of legal, I'd imagine.
But it's almost like all this language we know, like contracts. Does any of it mean a damn thing?
No.
Not anymore.
Almighty dollar.
Because everyone's like, well, the contracts run. I don't give a damn about the contracts. No one cares. There's enough money to buy out any contract.
It's like a coach. It's like a coach is here on a contract, but.
Yeah.
If he wants to go somewhere.
I mean, we'll
pony up the money.
We've seen it right down the road at Marshall. Remember, they were under contract to stay in conference. And
they're like, nah, we're good.
Like, nah, you're coming now. Cool.
The good thing is conference USA's buyout was like 10 cents.
Contract.
Yeah, right? Their buyout was, I mean, a fraction of what. Yeah,
of course. But when you're talking like SEC and Big Ten money, what the hell? Like,
it's a lot.
They just laugh at whatever that number is, right?
Well, Texas and Oklahoma's, you know, what they left early was pretty steep. Went down to $70 million or something apiece.
Yeah, and I still can't believe that hasn't happened, by the way.
It's steep, but you I mean, can't they can tell pay me it.
That someone's not willing to pay that.
They could. Well,
maybe they're just waiting around to see.
We need to put out a thing like.
As soon as the playoff thing didn't expand, that's when everything was like halted for a second.
Well, we're going to 16 teams, aren't we? In the playoffs? I mean,
if you're getting that many.
16? I didn't see that. I saw 12.
Was it 12? I'm sorry.
12, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which makes, that's a whole other.
Why wouldn't
it? It needs to be 8. 8 just meant, well, but then you say 8, but that's also with 5 automatic qualifiers. I don't know if there's going to be 5 automatic qualifiers in 3 years, so who the hell knows what we're going to do.
I think all this is going to be mute because things are going to look a lot different here in a few years, and does the NCAA even exist? In a couple of years.
Does it exist now?
No.
When's the last time we heard anything from the NCAA about anything?
The Board of Governors complaining about boosters. That's the last thing I've...
It exists on the D2 and D3 level.
Yes, it does.
In Division I.
No. That's good. They've pushed them out of the way.
I mean, you just don't...
You don't even hear about them.
You never open up a paper or turn on TV and it's like, well, the NCAA ruled today. No, they didn't. They haven't ruled on anything.
No.
Only thing they do is mess up equality when it comes to women's and men's tournaments. That's it.
Yeah, they won't do anything, man. They're in the electrical closet. I pushed them in there. Lost the keys.
I'll tell you what, though, you might have to edit this part out. But part of me
don't
is
make gonna, me work more.
Part of me, if the Big 12 gets the Colorado, Utah, and the Arizona schools, a part of me can't wait for Bob Huggins' first press conference before having to travel to Utah. He don't like going to Texas, boys. I'm just saying, just getting within eye shot of California is not going to be a major favorite trip of Coach Huggins, I don't think.
Super pumped.
Yeah, just damn it. And of course, basketball, it's rougher. He has a great point. That's a lot of games. You know?
That's the thing. And then that was a good point by him, you know?
They're going like twice a week, you know? I get it.
It's all about football.
Like, I did 3 trips last year, and I'm still trying to recover, right? Like, he does that in a week. That's tough.
I mean, just wait for the UCLA women's lacrosse team to travel on a Tuesday
to Piscataway.
Yeah, to Piscataway, New Jersey.
USC at Penn State volleyball next. Cornhole next on ESPN 2. Oh my God, it is nuts. I mean,
do you like Major League Baseball now? You do a West Coast swing?
I don't know.
If you're Rutgers or Penn State,
we laugh. We laugh, but they're going to have to get creative.
They're going to have to.
They're going to have to, especially with this money.
And I know a lot of these teams, a lot in Division One, especially each program has, you know, an academic advisor that travels with these teams. So it's not like when they're out on the road, they're not doing schoolwork. They are.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
so they're not missing any school when they're traveling.
And you hear all the time that rumor, well, the power or whatever this number of conferences is now, it's going to break away from the NCAA. It almost makes you wonder if they're just going to break away from every other sport, too. Because this is just – in football, again, you're playing six games at home and six away. You can make six road trips, one every other week. It's sure. It's not undoable. But when you're playing – Baseball
is tough.
Volleyball, soccer, or, you know, maybe not soccer as much, but sports where you're playing 30, 40, 50 games, basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about sports that don't make money anyway.
Travel costs to
send a team from USC to Rutgers, we laugh, but
that's a lot.
I mean, I almost think that it comes down to at some point you form these football leagues and then the rest of these schools just figure something out where it's like, hey, all right, this conference only exists in football. Here's our conference, and it's just you and like 10 schools.
Yeah, they did have soccer.
100 miles away. Yeah, like W was in Conference USA or whatever that was in soccer. I think that's going to become – because it's just not
– it's not feasible.
These people are in the business of making money. If I know that, rest assured they know that, you know, that this is just losing them an absolute ton of money.
It's not viable.
Sending a lacrosse team 2,000 yards to play a game and then turn around sending them back.
If this keeps continuing, do we see schools close?
Closing sport?
They just can't.
Whole programs, yeah.
They just can't.
I mean, it happened during the pandemic. I mean,
well, you saw Urbana, the whole school closed.
Yeah.
And Title IX is going to come back into this, too, because that handcuffs athletic departments. Yeah. And I'm. Don't get me wrong. I'm not coming out against Title IX. You'll find very few people that supported female athletics like I have the last 10 years. But when you're talking money on this scale, somebody's going to bring it up. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. We're teetering on the edge of a cliff here. This is about to change.
Well, the biggest thing, too, when we talk about travel costs, it's already been a conversation when W went to the Big 12 and played the schools that. So if you're talking about now bringing West Coast, I mean, I don't know how often you would play that West Division or East of it, whatever, how you'd split those games. But
I mean, the thing for USC and UCLA, what's the shortest trip? Nebraska?
Yeah.
And that's the shortest. And they're by far, after that, it's like Iowa, right? Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota. Iowa. That's halfway
that's
across
up
the
here,
country.
Over here, in the Midwest, the upper Midwest.
I mean, even if you go East-West in the Big Ten – I mean, between UCLA and USC, whether you're going there or they're coming to you, that's, 1,500 miles at least, probably. I don't know what it is from Illinois to USC. I'm not that smart, but I would guess
around
it's 1,500 miles,
I
right?
I think it's, 3,000 miles from
not just the travel
to LA.
The traveling of the team, but, you know, one of the big things for, like, basketball at WVU, you know, the other thing is, and it's all TV. Everything's TV.
For sure.
Right.
This whole schedule's what TV wants you to do.
That's driving. Yeah, exactly.
So they're playing on a Saturday out in Texas Tech.
Then they
got to fly back for a Monday, big Monday game.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's already crap.
And it's just.
I mean, it's already. I mean, Huggins has talked about
it. You know, they play on a Saturday at Texas Tech. They're like getting back at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a quick turnaround.
And I was joking earlier.
He
has a point. I like to have a little fun with it, but he has a point.
And, it's just fun to watch his demeanor. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You can tell.
It's like how he handles things. You know, I speak fluent sarcasm. I appreciate his. That's all.
One of the best passive aggressive masters of all time.
Yeah, he speaks my language with some of that stuff.
And he takes his time doing it.
He does.
Yeah, kill pause, and you're like, is he done? No.
No.
Just give him time.
Making sure he says it exactly the way he wants to say it.
Yeah, when you first start to interview him, especially by phone, you got to
know his pauses. It's fascinating, though, because, I mean, you read these. Now we're sitting here thinking about, what if Oregon's in the Big 12?
That's what I'm saying. The travel, that's the biggest thing. Like with schools like WU, the travel costs is
for me,
crushing.
It's really exciting because I can go to these, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want to go.
Eugene, Oregon.
I'm just praying to God they get an at BYU in the next 5 years. Like, there's not another stadium in the country that I want to see more than BYU. So
that's a bonkers venue.
But it's fun to talk about and conjecture, but I don't know, man. If we've learned anything, it's far from over, and who the hell knows?
All right, we'll wrap up there. Good show, boys.
Yeah.
Going to be back from 4th of July and
Jack's,
all that.
Jack's giving us the hook. He's got 60,000 steps to take this afternoon.
He's like, come on,
I got to eat lunch. Okay. Yeah, I got a little watermelon and walk. Quinoa salad. I think that's what that is.
Ooh.
It's a type of seed, I believe.
Yeah, never had. It's actually quinoa.
Quinoa, that's what quinoa. It is. Quinoa. Yeah.
I've never ate it. Is it any good?
I don't know. Just hurry up and eat it. And it
it's kind of how I feel about lentils. I tried that too. It's not bad if you just swallow
just
it.
Just hurry up. Yeah.
All right. We do this normally Mondays and Fridays. 4 p.m. is when these episodes drop. And we're going to continue again our scoop and score segment all the way up to kickoff the high school football season. Thank you to Jeremy Dolan of Scott over there for joining us today. We'll talk to you on Friday here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Brink. Thank you.